Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thank you for listening to Susie Larson Live. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. So thanks for giving, and thanks for sharing with a friend. It's only just a matter of... Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I believe you're listening today by divine appointment. Our guest, our originally scheduled guest, had to cancel. And instead of dropping in a replay, as soon as my producer let me know she had to cancel, I felt this quickening in my heart. I sensed the Lord wanted us to have this time together. And I believe God has something special for us today. I want to talk with you about the importance of giving God the proper place in our lives. I want to talk about what it means to return to awe. And, you know, I'm just going to be honest here. You know, I do speaking outside of radio, and I write, and you know that. But whenever I'm handling the content on my own, I do get a little nervous. And my producer just prayed for me beautifully, so. But it would help me so much to know you're out there. If you can send me an amen once in a while, even if you have thoughts, comments, even if you disagree with me, text me to let me know what you're thinking. Let me know you're there as we walk together through this time. I'm also asking you to do everything you can. Like Dr. Rob Reamer always says, deny your base instinct to resist, that you would humble yourself and say, Lord, give me ears to hear. And if there's any way you're in a position, if you're listening at work, you got to keep working. But if you're sitting at home, if you could stop what you're doing, sit down, maybe with a journal and your Bible, and lean in. And if not, do that after the live show's over and we got a podcast up. I need you to spend some time. If we were sitting together and you were on your phone, thank you, Leanne. She's praying for me. I would ask you to put your phone down. I would say, can you just look me in the eyes for just a moment? Because what I'm feeling right now, honestly, you know, I'm a little weepy at times. I hope I can get through this without crying, because this is so stirring in my heart, and I'm praying I can do it justice. And one of the things we prayed before the show is that I can get my arms around what I really believe God wants me to say in a way that changes our hearts together. Michelle, thank you for those prayers too. Quick announcement, you've been hearing us shout out to our Montana friends. Faith Radio is now in Billings, Montana, and we want so much to say thank you for listening. We love you. We're so grateful to have you as part of the family. Okay, you guys are going to make me cry. You're doing exactly what I asked. Here for me, praying for me. Thank you. Thank you for that. And our friends in Montana, this is such an amazing community, and we're just honored to have you be part of it. So Return to Awe is the title of this message. And I want to start with reading Psalm 33. And if you are at home and you're able to open your Bible, go to Psalm 33. I'm going to start in verse 4. Thank you, friends. Wow, thank you for those texts. This is the Word of God. I mean, I wish we could all just stand in honor as we listen to the Word. This is God's Word. For the Word of the Lord holds true. We can trust everything He does. Listen, He loves whatever's just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed a word, and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord. Let everyone stand in awe of Him. For when He spoke, the world began. It appeared at His command. The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations and thwarts all their schemes. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people He has chosen for His inheritance. The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From His throne He observes all who live on earth. Listen, He made their hearts, so He understands everything they do. The best equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Do not count on your war horse to give you the victory, for all its strength it cannot save you. But the Lord watches over those who fear Him. I've said this countless times on this show. Those who fear Him, God treats them differently. There's a special blessing reserved for those who truly revere the Lord. And as you may often hear me say, God knows who's who in the zoo. He knows who's pretending, and He knows who's pursuing. And when we reverently stand in awe of him, he watches over us with tender care. He watches over those who rely on his unfailing love. He rescues us from death and keeps us alive in times of famine. So what do? We put our hope in the Lord, because he is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, O Lord, for our hope is in you alone. Wow, do I love God's word. Let the whole world fear the Lord. Let everyone stand in awe. I shared this story, I think it was years ago, so I think it's been a while, unless you've heard me speak, maybe you've heard me share, but it's really been a while since I shared it. But I was speaking at a conference, actually across the street from our station at Northwestern, University of Northwestern. I was to speak 6 times in 2 days. This was many, many years ago. And this was years, years, years before COVID. So you could show up at an event with a cold and it would not be a bad thing. And I was really sick. And with battling Lyme, this chest cold was so much worse. And my hip was out of joint. So I had to swing one of my legs. My hip was really out of joint. I joked that the only thing I was missing was like a hump on my back. My nose was red. My chest rattled. My hip was out of whack. I'm limping. And oh, I was quite a picture. And I had no idea how I was going to get through one message, not to mention 6 in 2 days. I just needed to be in bed. I sat in the front pew while the host introduced me, and I was shivering. I was sick. I shouldn't have been there, but I was. Every single time I stepped up, all 6 times, every time, I was surged with power, clarity, focus, like I was not sick. I stood up straight. I had clarity and authority in my words. And this was so many years ago. I was preaching on prayer. And yet women were healed. I mean, miraculously healed. I found out later. They've sent me letters or whatever, emailed me. I don't know if we had email back then. It was such a long time ago. But they sent me notes and said, I walked in with a back injury. I walked out without one. I walked in with migraines. I walked out without one. It was like, but the presence of God was so tangible, you could almost touch it. I had such a fear of God in that moment. Like, I didn't want to disrupt what God was doing. Each time I sat down between sessions, I shriveled up in a ball. My head plugged back up. I felt, you know, the chill and weak. And every time I stood back up, there was the power again. I drove home. I crawled into bed. And I'm like, Lord, what was that? I've got to have more of you. That was my weakest day ever. Yet you showed up in my weakness. What was that? How can I have more of you, Lord? And I fell asleep and had a vivid dream. And again, maybe you've heard this, so if you've heard it, forgive me for the repeat. But in the dream, there were people walking back and forth and hovering right over their heads were these clouds, these thick clouds. And I knew in the dream, the clouds represented the power and the presence of God. They had hues of dark, smoky gray and purple and white, and lightning would shoot sideways through them and all the clouds would flicker and light up. I knew in the dream that these clouds represented the power of God and the provision of God, and they were hovering just overhead of the people. But people just walked back and forth, doing their life, totally unaware of what was right within their reach. But once in a while, someone would reach up and grab a handful of the power, and they'd put it on their child or on their heart, and then they'd go about their business. But then I came to this one woman in the dream who kind of camped in her spot. She'd reach up and grab the power. She'd put it on a stranger walking by. She'd reach up, grab more power with a ball of fire. She'd put it on the next stranger walking by. Then she'd bless her children and she blessed her own heart. And she sort of lived taking hold of the provision. I knew what that meant. I woke up just stunned and startled. And I said, Lord? And he whispered, but it was a thunder in my spirit. He said, Susie, most of my children scratch the surface in what I've made available to them. That changed my prayer life. I mean, that kicked off an insatiable hunger and thirst for God that I've never retreated from. If that's true, most of us scratch the surface of what God has made available. If the heavens are pregnant with glory, provision, why wouldn't our walk with God be the most important thing about us? And if you look in Scripture and you note what happens when the manifest presence of God invades a situation, people can't really stand upright. Now, this is not an emotive thing, a feel-good moment. Think of Job, when he was absolutely blown to smithereens by the devil, and his friends assumed it was because of his own wrongdoing. And yet, he really handled this in a way far beyond what I think any of us could. You know, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It took him a while to get to this place of questioning God. And I would submit to you that we all have that card in our back pocket, that if you're pushed far enough, you suffer enough, you'll pull the card out and say, but I've done all this for you. Why are you doing this to me, Lord? Like, there is some kind of quid pro quo that we've got going. There, we all have our limits to the point where we pull that card out and say, Lord, you owe me, you know, more than you're giving me right now. I mean, Job is like, I don't get it. And anybody would be asking the same questions in his position. But when then the Lord spoke to Job and said, was it you who told the waters where to stop and the land where to begin? Was it you who put the stars in place? Job, before he was ever restored, said, surely I spoke of things too wonderful for me. I've heard of you. Now I've seen you. It was like a hand over the mouth kind of moment where he was shaken to his core. That's not an emotive moment. That's encountering the living God. And the Lord asked him to pray for his friends. Job repented, not for what his friends had said about him, because they were wrong. Job repented for what he was saying about God. When the presence of God moves in, we quickly learn how puny our perspective is and how great God really is. We just don't know what we don't know. Continuing with the idea of the manifest presence of God, there's clear evidence of that in Scripture. How about the Mount of Transfiguration? First, Peter starts talking, but as soon as the Lord speaks, he goes face down. These men go face down, overwhelmed by the presence of God. And then you think about the guards at Gethsemane. And Jesus said, who is it you're looking for? Jesus. He stepped forward and said, I am he. And the sheer power of the I am statement caused all those guards, a whole contingent of soldiers, to fall backwards, as if to say, you're not taking my life. I'm freely giving it. I don't know. I think humility is harnessed power. He knew who he was. He didn't need to show everybody who he was. He was content to be misunderstood, but people, it's like heaven served the earth notice. Make no mistake about it. This is the Son of the living God. And then you think of the guards at the tomb. When they saw the glory of those angels, they became as dead men. You know what? People tremble when God draws near. And again, this isn't, you know, an emotive, passionate response. It's inward brokenness and awe. Years ago, long before COVID, I sat in on a session with a leader from YWAM, and he happens to be one who has studied the rise and fall of civilizations. He's read over 1,000 books on the topic. And he shared how every major civilization basically collapsed after 250 years. And in every situation, right before their collapse, people indulged in rampant sin, and Christians had lost their voice and culture. Then he showed, this was years ago, but the current map for the explosion of Christianity and where it had stalled out. In so many other places in the world, Christianity was exploding. Where did it stall out? You wonder? The U.S. and Canada. Wow. He says, look at U.S., look at Canada on this map and a few other small countries. We've stalled out. And he says, we are so out of step with the world. And the American church is so out of step with the capital C church that the U.S. no longer represents the world. Wow. He says, we are on the brink of collapse. It's Christians who are meant to influence culture. And unless we repent, unless we begin to seek God again with our whole heart, unless we allow God to radically change the way we live and love and serve in our communities, we as a nation are headed for trouble. And friends, I know we've got people listening from other nations. But the nations are in trouble unless we repent. In fact, he shared a story, or a map, another map. It was a timeline, like an elapsed timeline over the years of how Christianity, a world map where it would show this Christianity exploding, expanding, and then contracting, and expanding and contracting. And he says there were generations where Christianity shriveled, its influence and its culture shriveled completely, not completely, but a lot. Down to almost nothing, and then expanded, and then contracted. What happened in those generations where Christianity was allowed to contract and not expand? He says, the people were so busy living like the rest of the world, they stopped influencing those who need Jesus the most. And in the eras when Christianity was expanding, he says the people in those generations loved people and served in their community. Is that not unbelievable when you think about it? And I have to take a break. I'm just looking at the clock just now. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about what is our role? If we're to be a voice in culture, what does God want from us right here, right now? We're talking about returning to awe. I'm Susie Larson. Thank you for these texts. I can't tell you what it means to me. I don't know. I've been doing radio for a long time, but every time I handle the content myself, I get nervous. And so you saying you're with me just means a lot. So thank you. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. You know, following Jesus is not just something we do. It's who we are. We follow him because he's the savior of the world. He lived, he died, he rose again, and blew the doors off of the devil's claim on us. That's why we can live free, and we can share with others the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right now, it's our spring fundraising season, and we would love for you to join the Faith Radio family. Tell others about how God has changed your life. Be an ambassador for Christ as you share the good news. And then, if you feel so led, would you join the giving family now? You can do so by clicking on the link in the show notes or simply give safe and secure online at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. Our guest had to cancel today, and I instantly felt quickened to talk about something. Oftentimes when we have a cancellation, we'll put in a replay. Right away, the Lord just prompted me. I want you to talk about reverence and awe of God, return to awe. And I've asked you to pray for me. I'm just being real, vulnerable, keeping it real here. I don't know why, but whenever I do this radio show alone without a guest, I get nervous. So your texts of praying for me, holding my arms up, means the absolute world to me. So we've been talking about returning to awe, rightly revering God. And before the break, I was talking about a speaker I'd heard many years ago, before COVID, several years before COVID, talking about civilizations that are on the brink of collapse after 250 years. Almost without fail, these civilizations get in debt over way beyond their means. They overextend themselves, and they lose their fear of God, and sin becomes rampant, and people just thumb their noses at God, always prior to the collapse of a civilization. And we are on the brink of that place as a country. But I know I've got friends listening in Canada and other 170 nations around the world. I think I'm probably right in saying every nation is in trouble right now. People are thumbing their noses at God. People don't have a fear of God. But the thing is, it's on us. If you are a Christ follower, it starts with us. It starts with us. 2 Corinthians 7:14-15 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer prayed in this place. Listen, friend, if you're listening from the U.S. or some other nation, the nations are in trouble. And apart from a mighty move of God, the love of most will grow cold. It will. It will. And God is looking to us, to his people, to make the first move. And that first move, I believe, is humble, reverent repentance. We have got to return to awe. So if I could say, I'm going to step on a few toes here, but would you humble yourself? Would you be receptive? If you're hating on your politicians as a believer, you need to repent. If you're picking apart your pastor, your neighbor, your spouse, you need to repent. If you're coddling fear more than you're clinging to the promises of God, I love you because I get it and I've been there, but you need to repent. If you've lost your first love, you need to repent. If you've drifted from all that's right and good, you need to repent. I want you to hear this passage again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and restore their land. Scripture says all of his promises are backed by the honor of his name. So if he gives a promise, it's backed by the honor of his name. But as F.F. Bosworth said in Christ the Healer, a book that's 100 years old, He says, walking with God is like a chess match. God makes a move, and then you make a move. God will never take your turn, and he'll never move out of turn. And I would say, friends, right now, it's our move. It's our turn. He's made a promise. We need to bow. We need to get low. We need to trim the fat off of our lives. How much time do we spend, waste, I should say, scrolling, binge watching? And I'm not trying to be a legalist here, but I'm just saying, you look out the window, you watch the news, we're in trouble. If you're not in crisis yourself, then intercede for those who are. Intercede. You know, one of the things I pray all the time, oh God in heaven, put a firewall between the wicked and the weak. I can almost not bear to see the clips on the news of unsuspecting vulnerable people suddenly being on the receiving end of the criminal elements of society. I cannot bear it. So every morning and every night I pray, put a firewall, Lord God, between the wicked and the vulnerable. May they fall into their own traps. May they encounter you in a way that puts the fear of God in their hearts. If they would love you, turn them from Saul's to Paul's. If they're bent on wickedness, may they fall on their own sword, God. But protect the vulnerable. John Bevere, in his amazing book, The Of God, prays this way. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask your forgiveness for the times I've entered an atmosphere of worship with a casual, irreverent attitude. I repent for taking your presence for granted, for treating it as common. May the blood of Jesus cleanse me. I humble myself before you and ask for grace to change. I want to be aware of, and I want to respect your presence no matter where I am or what I'm doing. I want to live in reverent awe of you at all times. I ask this in Jesus' name. So when we think of awe, we think of the fear of God. I have heard modern-day leaders say that the fear of God is an Old Testament concept, and I humbly, profoundly disagree. Why? Because he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And this God sent his son and died a brutal death and defeated the grave and transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into his son, those of us who call on his name. All the more reason to give him glory. All the more reason to hold him in a high esteem and revere him. But just for the sake of just sort of getting into scripture to help understand how I'm defending my case in this, 1 John 4:18 is a constant verse that those who say the fear of God is an outdated concept, they'll use this verse to back that up. And it goes this way, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. But the thing is, the word fear in this passage is phobos. That's the original translation, where we get the word phobia or dread or terror. And we're not meant to be in constant dread and terror of God. He's a good father. We are meant to come into his presence with honor. He loves us. Scripture says we can be assured of his glad welcome. Another one that they'll sometimes use is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. In this passage, the word fear translates delia, and it means fearful, cowardly, or timid. In other words, Old Testament or New Testament, God has not made us cowards. He has not made us to live fearful lives. What I love about that passage is what he has given us a spirit of is power, love, and sound mind. Power is dunamis power. It means explosive power. That means our Christianity should have power. And then love is the agape love, the kind of love that you love not your life even unto death. The kind of love that lays itself down for another. That's sorely lacking today. And sound mind. When you think of what's going on in our world today, many people are living in the flesh, not in power. They're living in self-preservation, not in love. They're living with a distorted mindset, not of a sound mind. But when we walk in the Spirit, we don't gratify the desires of the flesh. Our flesh might want to react in flesh. Our flesh might want to self-preserve. Our flesh might want to embrace a lying, distorted perspective. But when the Spirit of God floods our being, we live an otherworldly life. And so I would say that scripture does not speak to that fear of God is an outdated concept. I want to go to the one from Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowing the Holy One results in understanding. Now this word fear translates yira. That's the original translation. You know what it means? Reverence, respect. The fear of God is not an outdated concept. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and we've somehow lost our sense of fear and honor of the Lord, how wise are we really? To remember God's greatness and his awesome power is to put our toes on the edges of wisdom. I don't talk about my kids very much because they're pretty private and they just want to be able to do life out of the public eye. But they're okay with me saying this about them. They're grown now. They love us. They love their dad so much. And they want to hear what he has to say. They want to hear what I have to say too. But they have lunch with their dad once a month. My husband pursues those boys, and those grown men meet their dad once a month for lunch. When they were young, they had a healthy fear of Kev. They were not fearful of him, because that kind of fearful terror, dread, comes from inconsistency. You know, you think of a son who's got an abusive father, bracing for impact, never knowing what kind of mood his dad's going to be in. You never can settle into love, so you can never learn how to live loved. Our boys never had to deal with that because Kev was steady, steady, consistent. They were not fearful of him, and they did not dread him. Dread comes from perpetual injustice, but they revered him. Because he was not only patient and kind, he was strong and steady and consistent. They knew where he stood. They knew what to expect. They knew his standard and his love were consistent. I would say we didn't do it perfectly, obviously. We made plenty of mistakes. But that is one thing we wanted so much for our boys to know, is the power of honor. I would say honor is the equity of the kingdom. Honor is the equity of the kingdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we appropriately honor God for who he is, we begin to experience him in a way we never otherwise would. Before we go to break, I'll tell you a story. It doesn't fully have to do with my message, but it's hilarious to me because it reminds me of those boys growing up. But our life group was over, and the boys were downstairs or somewhere. Yeah, I don't remember which house we were in, but they were running down the hall, taking a turn, jumping and doing a front summy tuck onto the bed and running as hard as they could. And boys just can be clunky, you know, and they're just more sturdy the way they're built. And we were upstairs, we hear like this big loud bang. And we go down and there's a hole in the sheetrock next to the bed. And the boys were all standing in a row, their hands behind them, covering their rear ends, looking at Kev with big wide eyes. And he's like, who did this? And none of them would admit that they had done it. And so this was our version of Cinderella. He took each of the boys and put their rump in the hole. He's like, one of you boys are going to match this hole. It was funny. We all laughed. But anyway, they didn't get punished for it. It was just they were being boys. But looking back at those times when they just had a sense, they knew when they were on the rumble strips, they knew when they were stepping out of line. And even when they did, we would get on their level. We would grab their shoulders and we would say, you're too important to be making decisions like this. You know, there's something so powerful about honoring God. The pure in heart see God. The pure in heart see God. And those who fear him, that's the beginning of wisdom. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, I want to ask some questions about just your level of intimacy with God. Are you in a place where he's refreshing you? He's correcting you. He's redirecting you. He's healing you. Because that's the benefit of belonging to the kingdom. He guards, he guides, he protects, he provides. That's who he is. That's what he does. He's a good father. But when we drift, when we lean on our own understanding, when we harbor grudges and think little of sinful tendencies while we're hating on our politicians or judging other Christian leaders, becoming prideful, territorial, all of that stuff puts us out of rank. So we need to get back in rank, submit ourselves to God, resist the devil. He will flee. Humble ourselves before Almighty God. In due time, he will lift us up. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. We've got a divine appointment today. Appreciate you all who've texted in so, so much. Our guest had to cancel, and sometimes, lots of times, we'll put in a replay. But immediately, I felt like the Lord prompted me to go live and to talk with you about returning to awe, returning to reverence in the Lord. And I just cannot thank you enough for these texts of encouragement. And John Bevere, in his book, The Awe of God, says, someone who's scared of God has something to hide. However, the person who fears God has nothing to hide. He or she's terrified of being away from God. God wants to be close and intimate with you. So rest assured, holy fear does not quench intimacy. It does the opposite. It enhances our interaction with God. What a fear, rightly aimed, is actually a virtue. What if this holy fear is what truly opens us up to the fullness of life that Jesus' followers have experienced throughout the centuries? What if this fear eradicates all other fears? So I just want to ask, what does this look like in our everyday lives? And I've just got a few questions to ask myself and to ask you. And again, I'm asking for humility and just receptivity, trusting that the Lord will help us see what we need to see. Do you pause before you pray? I mean, do you pause and remember who it is you're talking to? Think about this concept. Muscle memory will interrupt intimacy. In other words, when we become creatures of habit, which we just are, you know, repetition is good to a point until it isn't anymore. Then it's not serving you well. And when we just sort of do the same thing, we're going to get what we've always gotten. But I think even just to approach your prayer times, even to snatch a 5-minute, 10-minute moment throughout the day, I've been doing that a lot these days, or I just step away from my desk, I go kneel down, and at a chair and open my hands and tell God how wonderful He is. Or I just sit quiet and I think of the passages that say He put the stars in place and called them each by name. Do you pause and pray before you pray? I mean, and remember who it is you're talking to. Do you still marvel when you see a sunset? How about when a baby's born? Do you have an awareness of the presence of and the standard of God in your life? I mean, because, you know, it's not about legalism. It's invitation, not obligation. But He's always calling us upward. The things He's convicting me about today, He never would have 10 years ago. I wasn't even ready for that because He was convicting me about other, way more obvious things back then. But healing, holiness, all of it comes in layers. We mature. We go from grace to grace, strength to strength, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. And it is amazing how just the littlest things, the little course adjustments can make us freshly dependent on the Lord. Are you becoming more like Christ because of how you walk with God? Are you bothered by your sin? Or are you busy pointing out other people's sin? When trouble arises, are you quick to pray, "Search me, O God"? Or do your thoughts instantly go to someone else? Do you respond to the correction of the Lord? Do you hear Him when He corrects you? He never beats you down. He calls you up. It's so good to be quiet in His presence. It's courageous to say, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything that in me that offends you and lead me in your everlasting way." Remember Paul said, "My conscience is clear, but that doesn't mean I'm innocent." It means there's things we can't see. David also said, "Cleanse me from hidden faults. Keep me back from presumptuous sins." Presumptuous sins, when we presume upon God, we think He owes us something. You know what? But to fear God, to rightly revere God, as we step in to His presence and His courts with thanksgiving and praise, we rely on His protection. We don't just presume upon it. When you presume upon someone, you've taken them for granted. Pastor David Wilkerson said, "If you have no fear of God, you will invent a gospel of convenience." So unless we come to grips with our constant and continual need to walk intimately with God, we may follow Him at a distance and not even realize it. And then you know what? Not much changes in our life. And we'll have no power to overcome a sin that we refuse to acknowledge. But I'm telling you, as you walk intimately with God and His light shines brighter, you get more tender. You get more sensitive to His Spirit, more humble because you realize how small you are and how great He is. And that's what changes the world, is you shine brighter. You don't shout at the darkness. You don't shake your fist at the darkness. You become more with God. You let God shine His light more brightly in you, which means you die to your imagined rights. You humble yourself when people step on your toes, and you conform to the image of Christ. You use every blessing and every battle to allow you to be conformed to the image of Christ. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent so that times of refreshing might come." I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it seems God's cleaning up His house. And if you consider those world maps that I referenced before, the contraction and expansion of the gospel, I mean, it just is mind-boggling to me to imagine eras where Christianity shriveled and there was just so little influence in communities because those Christians in that day were living like the rest of the world. But God will always have a remnant. So there was Christianity thriving and growing in some places, and it'll always be that way. But then think of the eras where Christianity expanded. It's because people called on God and said, we need a revival in our day. We need you to move in our day. Lord, bring the prodigals home. Restore the marriages. Set captives free. I'm telling you what, with every last breath I pray, I'm going to pray for revival. I'm going to pray for renewal. I'm going to ask for your healing. God wants us, our whole hearts. He wants a surrendered life. He wants a capital yes. The fear of the Lord, approaching him with honor, awe, reverence, knowing that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, that he stoops down to behold heaven. That's what scripture says. That God cares about every detail of your life, knows about every hair on your head. And when you approach him as the king, the master, the Lord that he is, you're beginning to be wise. You're touching your toes on the edges of wisdom. And the rest of that passage reads, knowing the Holy One results in understanding. So, to the degree that we understand who God is and we rightly honor him, will we walk in the fullness and the power that he's made available to us? You can try to live the Christian life without the abiding life, and it'll be a powerless Christianity. But you abide in Christ. You reverently honor God. Everywhere you put your feet, God's kingdom will come to earth. To the degree that we appropriately honor and fear him, will we experience him for who he is? So Proverbs 9:10, and this is my paraphrase, could be translated this way, just as my paraphrase of the passage. To stand in awe of God and give him the glory and honor he deserves is the doorway to knowing him deeply, experiencing him profoundly, and understanding him more fully. We actually gain insight by giving glory to God. The more we get to know God for who he really is, the more we'll walk in wisdom, power, and authority. God wants us to stand in awe of him. And for far too long, too many have been dabbling in Christianity, and we've lost our voice in culture. But as you get intimate with God, as you let him shine his light in your heart, as you humble yourself and say, have your way. If I don't have it yet, it's not good for me yet, because you withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly before me. I know your character, so when the enemy comes in to try to get me to accuse you of things he's guilty of, I will say, that's not my God. He is good, and I trust him. I walk through the valleys. I don't camp in the valleys, because my God is with me. When you get to know his character, your life will be marked with power. Can somebody give me an amen? That's just amazing news. I think it's, is it first, I have a 1 Corinthians 4, 9 or 10. I might be wrong about that. But scripture says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. I don't want a powerless Christianity, do you? I want to rightly honor God in such a way. In fact, Jesus says, when you privately bring your prayers to him, when you have an active prayer life privately, he will bless you publicly. And I think you can tell the difference between somebody who's, you know, read something off the internet and is spouting it, and someone who's roaring it because they have wrestled it to the ground in their own battles. There's a big difference between someone who walks with God and has a holy roar because they've been with the Lion of Judah. And they know, if I fear God, I don't have to fear anything else. And there's a lot to be afraid of today. So we can't afford to dabble. We can't afford to indulge in ways that numb our pain. Besides, we've got a healer. We've got a savior. We've got a redeemer and a restorer. But he won't force his love or his presence on anyone. But you can have as much of God as you want. But as Dr. Rob Reamer says, not more than you're willing to pay the price for. But I'm praying today's show is a wake-up call for all of us. There is stuff in our schedules that we can get rid of, at least for a while. My hubby and I are once again on a 21-day partial fast. And we do that. It's a very partial fast. But we trim the fat off of our lives and use any extra time we can to seek God. And every time we see breakthroughs in our kids' lives, answers to prayer, and we're like, why don't we live this way? Why don't we live a fasted life? Because he is so ready to draw near. You draw near to him. He draws near to you. He is so good. We can have as much of him as we want. And back to the dream that I described at the beginning of the show, when the Lord said, most of my children scratch the surface of what I made available to them. So I want to ask you, what breaks your heart? Maybe you've got a prodigal. Your marriage is hanging on by a thread. Or you hate your body. Or you have tough neighbors. Or a job that you just can't stand. Did you know, first of all, you're not alone? God sees you. He loves you. He cares about you. And he wants to move you to a place of flourishing and redemption. But he also has entrusted a platform to you and is hoping you recover your holy roar. That when you pray for your prodigal, you pray for every prodigal. When you pray for your marriage, you pray for every marriage. When you pray for what you see on the news, you pray for every nation. When you say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That God actually moves on that prayer. I said this before when we were walking through my book, Closer Than Your Next Breath. I did a whole series of shows on the presence of God. But I'm going to say it again before we go to break. Whether you're in a season of obscurity or you're in a season of breakthrough, because Christians go through both. There are times when the heavens seem shut up over our heads and God seems silent. And there are times when it's like everywhere you turn, the breakthroughs, the answers are coming. The silent seasons are hard. But here's what's always true, is whether it feels like God is moving in your midst or not, he always is. If you could peel back the sky, you would see activity in the heavenly realm. Because you prayed, because you obeyed, because you sowed some seeds of faithfulness. Because of that, there's movement, there's activity. You would see your heavenly Father pointing his strong arm and angels going at his command on assignment because you prayed. Never underestimate the importance and the power of your presence in this earth. And we've somehow got to move from living perpetually from one of our issues to the next. We've got to move from that place to remembering and knowing and living like we really know. I'm a child of God. He is coming again. The end of the story is going to be amazing. So I'm going to abide. I'm going to pray like there's a God in heaven who hears me when I pray, because there is and he does. I'm going to live loved. I'm going to live saved. I'm going to live free. And it's going to make a difference on the earth. And if someone could zoom back on the map, the world map, they would see Christianity expanding all around you. Because you're taking your walk with God seriously. It's time. It's time to wake up, church. It's time to take seriously the words that come out of our mouth and the prayers that we pray and the way that we live, because God finds that irresistible. I'll be back in a minute. This is Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live. I don't know about you, but I love consistent nourishment. I love to fast on occasion. There's a purpose in that. But if you go too long without eating on a regular basis because you're too busy, your body actually goes into crisis mode. Well, in the same way, your soul, your spirit, they need nourishment too. And that's why it's so important to be listening to scripture, listening to good teaching on a consistent basis throughout the day. That's why we're here. We love what we do, and we want to do it with you. If you listen on the radio, on the terrestrial signal, we encourage you, download our free Faith Radio app. That way, if you're traveling this season, you can take us with you wherever you go. You can catch the live shows or even the podcast after the fact. And we've made it easier than ever. All you have to do is text the word app to 877-933-2484 and then click the link. I hope you will walk with us on this journey. Greater things are yet to be done in and all around us because God, well, he's on the move. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. Our guest had to cancel and really felt prompted by God to go solo today, which, as I said at the open of the show, even though I've been doing this a long time, I get nervous. I don't know why. And I've asked you to just send me an amen. Let me know you're there, and you have, and I cannot thank you enough. Because what I was talking about and am talking about today is the awe of God, returning to reverence before God, that it is time for the church to wake up. And not an easy message to deliver, but you are amazing. Just thank you with all my heart for these texts. I cannot thank you enough. I just know God moves when we pray, when we humble ourselves. And it is time. It is time to wake up. It's time to bow low. It's time to worship God the way He deserves and honor Him with our lives. It's time to come out of the shadows. It's time to quit nursing grudges. It's time to forgive our offenders and trust God with them. It's time to trust that God is who He says He is. And I want to use AWE as an acronym and talk about three things with our few minutes left. A, acknowledge. Acknowledge He is God and humble yourself before Him. Maybe right now God's convicting you of sin. Friend, do not wait. Don't put it off. Get right with Him right here, right now. He loves you. This is not a time for saving face. It is a time for saving grace. Well, maybe you don't feel conviction and you can't think of anything you need to acknowledge. That's okay. But I dare you still to say, Lord, is there something I'm not seeing? There have been so many times in my life where I didn't feel an initial conviction, but I wasn't free. And my emotions weren't that of love, joy, and peace. And as I got with God and I allowed Him to dig a little deeper, there was something down there below in the basement of my soul. So just give Him a little time and ask Him anything, anything, Lord. And if you're serious about honoring God, if you want to experience personal revival, and you want your life marked by His power and glory, humble yourself. Ask Him to show you more of His glory. Ask Him, I want more of you. Show me your glory, Lord. Let's revisit Psalm 33. I read a portion of this at the beginning of the show. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord. Let everyone stand in awe of Him. For when He spoke, the world began. It appeared at His command. Acknowledge that He is God. I pray this prayer. Father, forgive me if I've created a gospel of convenience that's cost me nothing. If I've justified sin, protected my idols, my heart has grown dim. If I've lost sight of Your glory and power, forgive me and empower me once again. And the powerful thing about that is God is right there to answer you like this right now. So acknowledge Him. I'm using AWE as an acronym. W, worship Him. Battles are won in worship. Add worship. Upgrade your worship. I mean, get a playlist. And throughout the day, take little breaks as you're able. Put worship on. Turn your head upward. Open up your hands. And just worship. Because God draws near and inhabits the praises of His people. And He deserves our worship. And E is engage your faith. I can't remember if I've told this story on the show before. If I have, it was a lot of years ago. But we were at an event, and this was a number of years ago. We came in the day before and had lunch with the host. And she's like, you have a lot of people on your show. Can you tell me of guests that I could have as speakers? But they all have to be way younger than you. And she says, my bosses want us to go young. Now, I love the youth and the young people of today. But I do think older people and babies have been diminished and disregarded in the most dishonorable ways. I think we need to rise when elder people walk in the room. We need to ask them questions about their life and learn from them. But that's just me. And I think, of course, we need to honor our little ones in our midst as well. But even so, I was feeling insecure about my age after she said that. And my hubby comes with me. He's a commercial construction manager. A lot of you know that. He builds big, giant buildings, blah, blah, blah. He's so good at what he does. But he's humble enough to come to these events and work my book table without fail. There's always a young sound guy who doesn't know him and will say, why don't you get a real job instead of working for your wife? And the snarky person in me wants to tackle that person to the ground because he doesn't work for me. We both work for God. This is a dual calling. But if they only knew who he was and how he conducts himself in the marketplace. So I'm sitting on the bed and I see myself in the mirror and the sunlight had come through the window, shining in the mirror, highlighting all the wrinkles on my face. So I'm slouched, feeling sorry for myself. Kev comes in, he plops down, and I knew someone had made the typical comment to him. I'm like, did they say it to you again? Yeah. And we were both just pouting for a moment. And all of a sudden, the Lord reminded me of this passage, Psalm 112, 1, 2. Blessed is the man who fears God and delights in His way. His seed will be mighty in the land, and a generation of upright will be blessed. Now, the seed is talking typically of your future generations, but He also provides seed to the sower and bread for food. And I thought, we're scattering seed in the, we're up in the Northeast. And so I rose up off the bed and I said, no way. You don't have to be, fit in skinny jeans and be this young punk to be used mightily of God. You can be 9 or 90. If you fear God, he will work through you. And I thought, I'm not having this today. And I put it under my feet. And I hopped up and I said, we will trust the name of the Lord. And he said, you are absolutely right. I can't even tell you how God moved and fell in that place. It was God. It wasn't me. But the power of God fell. And during the altar call, almost the whole room went forward. And this wasn't the kind of place that people would kneel in front, but they went to their knees. Some put their face on the floor and wept and cried out to God. And the host looked at me with her eyes big. She shook her head. She said, this has never happened before. And with that, I want to tell you, Christianity isn't some hip social club where you're only useful to God if you fit into skinny jeans. And thank you, Lord, those are going out of style. Anyway, it's not glorified high school where you have the popular crowd and the unpopular crowd. The only haves and have-nots in the kingdom are those who have faith and those who don't, those who fear God and those who don't. And there's no substitute for the power of God. Don't let that devil berate you. Don't let your inner critic berate you. If you fear God, you're going to be a force in the kingdom today. So may you fear God. May you humble yourself. And on behalf of your nation, whatever nation you're in, humble yourself and pray. Seek the Lord. Anything he convicts you of, turn from it. So God will hear from heaven and he will heal our land. I want to just thank you for tuning in. I really want to thank you for your texts. I can't tell you what that's meant to me. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and grace. We love you. We honor you. Help us live differently going forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These conversations are available because of your support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes, and then share it with friends so together we can all have a deeper life in Christ.